W.F. Howes presents an unabridged recording of The Commissioner by Stanley Johnson. Narrated by Fraser Blaxland. Chapter 1. Isabel Morton's hairdresser was the kind of person who prided herself on knowing a good deal about her clients. She had built up her business through contacts and word-of-mouth recommendation. She knew perfectly well that the women who came to her comfortable establishment in Knightsbridge did so not just in order to have their hair done, their legs waxed, or their hands manicured. They came because they knew, without ever saying so in so many words, that they could talk to Patricia about more than the time of day, particularly about their husbands and children and lovers, and that Patricia would guard their confidences. The system, of course, was never watertight. Not absolutely watertight. But then it wasn't meant to be. The good ladies who sat beneath the drying machines were not all dunderheads. Some of them told things to Patricia, hoping, or at least half-hoping, that she might pass them on, that the ripples might spread and one day rock the boat. It was part of Patricia's professional skill and her personal charm to be able to distinguish between genuine confidences and deliberate indiscretions. But Isabel Morton, partly because she was an American, tended to flummox her. She didn't use the same code as the others. The signals she sent out were confusing. That particular morning, as Patricia attended to the business at hand, Isabel spoke in particularly vehement terms about her husband and his way of life. "It's cuckoo. Absolutely cuckoo. Completely and utterly crazy. They're there all hours of the night. As far as I can make out, they just have to stay there until the whips decide it's safe for them to go home. I thought it might be better now that James has a job, but it hasn't made the slightest bit of difference. He gets home just as late at night. What's worse, he has to go off to the office in the morning, whereas before he would sometimes be around until lunchtime before going over to the house. I'm not sure I can take much more of it." Patricia looked at the handsome, faintly petulant face in the mirror in front of her. This was one of the rare occasions when she couldn't quite decide whether the message, if indeed there was a message, was intended for her and for her alone, or whether Isabel was voicing for eventual publication the terms and conditions to be applied in the not-too-distant future if the Morton marriage, deemed by most to be a great success, was to continue on an even keel. She picked up a comb and gave the hair above Isabel's left temple a few tentative twiddles. "Quite a few members' wives come here, you know. They all say they won't stand for it, but they do, apart from the ones who don't." Isabel grimaced. "Most of them are all bags. They put up with it because they don't have any alternative. Nobody else would have them." She stood up to go, tall, imperious. There was one thing you could
Sample complete. Ready to continue?